Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? All right, I hope everybody's having a great day, because I am anyway. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and man, I'm telling you, we got an outstanding show for you today. We're talking a little bit about a TB outbreak in Massachusetts. Really not much of a break, but anyway. And we're going to talk a little bit about that little speech the president gave last evening. And then, of course, the coup de grace is our employment and unemployment statistics that, you know, we finished the show discussing yesterday. So those are some of the things we're going to be talking about today. So I hope you're ready for a very, very, very interesting show, to say the least. I got a couple of songs of the day for you, Aretha Franklin and the Commodores, you know, and oh, man, I forgot the quote of the day. Gosh darn it. Oh, well, it'll be okay. But, you know, I'm ready. I hope you're ready. I got my Chardonnay sitting here next to me. I'm sorry, my sangria sitting here next to me. So I'm about to get crunk up in here, and I want y'all to get crunk with me, okay? Of course, crunk in the most respectful way there is. All right. I see you, 1441. I see you. All right. So before I go any further, man, let me go on to tell you how you can be part of the show. You can join the live conversation by dialing in 347-838-8622. Press the number 1 if you want to be heard on live on the air. Bam, it's just that simple. You hear, and we'll listen to what you have to say. All right, but if you don't feel like that, you can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. You know, just put Let's Talk on there, and, you know, if you want your comment to be heard on air, just say on air, and I can read it for you with no problems whatsoever. Or you can always join us in our chat room, blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, and where the conversation is always off the chain, you know. Now, let me express something to you. To come in as a guest, you'll be only able to read the comments that are placed in the chat room. But if you come in with a username, whatever you want to choose, then you'll be able to come in and, you know, make statements respond to the comments in the chat room as well. So those are all the ways you can participate in the show today. And any other day, let's just talk about today. Any other day, make you think like, I just don't do this every day. But anyway, so those are all the ways you can participate, and we'd be more than happy to have you. Of course, there are some rules to the show. We do not use the N word, the G word, the B word, the G E word, H word, any word that's derogatory, disrespectful. We don't use it here on the show. Okay, now. I mean, you can use a word that you use in place of it as far as the word, yeah. Now, I do understand there are those, you know, sometimes you get passionate and it slips out all the time. You know, I'm a little lenient when it comes to certain things, but there are certain words that I will not be lenient to, and y'all know what that is, right? The N word for sure, you know, the B word. Especially when it comes to talking to each other, this is not a show to where you personally attack the other person. All right, we don't do that here. What we do, we attack the topics. We talk about the topics. That's what we talk about. That's what we attack. Okay. So if you're gonna call in here, want to attack someone, well, you're picking the wrong show. And then by chance you coming in this first time, you coming from another show, you got beef with somebody else that's here from another show, keep it on that show. Don't bring it here, because we're not doing that. All right, so that's what it is. Okay, that suit is not working. All right, I don't know what suit you're talking about, but okay. Anyway, so, you know, that's where we at here on Let's Talk. We like to have fun, but we like to, you know, get some things crossed out at the same time. So it's all good. It's all good. I see we got the Vivacious Divine Design in the house. We got guests 1441-783-798-823. Welcome to the show. They in the chat room already. Of course, I got my co-host on board with me, the man who I think he does more research than I do, and I think that's kind of hard because I be digging and raping and running. But I'm telling you, this young man here, he's on the – trust me, if I didn't can't find it, I know he can. Put it that way. So let me bring in my co-host, the one and only Cloud Nation Radio. What's going on, man? How you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm feeling great, man. It's a beautiful day in Connecticut. Beautiful day. So I'm enjoying my new home, enjoying my new place, enjoying a new city, enjoying a new state, so... just feeling good today.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. You know, yeah, you better enjoy it now because, you know, probably about December, January, I don't know, but I don't know if you're going to be enjoying it too much by then. I know if I was there, I wouldn't be because I don't like the cold weather, so, you know, I'd be like, oh, no, now I got to go somewhere else where it's warm. I'm one of those people when it gets 45, 50 degrees, I got to put on a jacket because it's kind of cold in. So I know I wouldn't make up for, which is amazing because I was born up north, but, you know, you leave at a certain age, you don't remember any of that mess. So, yeah. So, anyway. So, you ready for a good show today, man? I see we have P. Yankee already on the line waiting on us. That should be an interesting thing. Let's say the least. I'm sure you found some interesting information just like I did, man. And, you know, it's amazing how much running and calling you have to do to find certain information. And, wow, it was just like, okay. But I was not defeated, per se. But we want to talk about, you know, what we talked about yesterday at the end, you know, the unemployment and things like that. So in our different areas. So hope everybody called back in. That was a part of the show yesterday. And anyone new, you know, we're talking unemployment in our different cities, counties, states, or whatever you want to say it. We're talking that later on in the show today. But first, before we get any further into the show, Cloud, you got a quote for me for today? Because I sure forgot to do a quote. You got a good quote.
A good quote. You know, I know I have one. I have one from Dr. Martin Luther King, in fact. So I'll use that one. And according to the doc, his quote is, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere."
Wow. All right, you sound like a politician with that one. Okay. But then, you know what? That's an interesting statement right there. Injustice anywhere. Well, say that again. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere?
Yeah. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. That's by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay. All right. I mean, I can see the meaning of that. I can see that. But, you know, boy. You know, that's one of those quotes that seems so simple on the outside. But if you really get to thinking about it, you're like, wait a minute. Because there's so many dynamics of that quote that you can, you know, that you can pick at and go at. You're like, okay. But you know what? We're going to leave it right there for right now. That's what we're going to do because, wow. And you know what? I'm glad you said that because that kind of goes with the president's speech last night, in fact. And so that was some good stuff, man. I like that quote. Get a chance, place it in the chat room so our guests can, you know, check it out as well and make any comments on it if they so see fit. All right? Now, before we go to the songs of the day, there's one thing I want to talk about. And apparently, you know, I was visiting shows last night. I was visiting shows last night. I'm not going to tell y'all which ones I was visiting. But, of course, you know, I came across this thing and said there was a tuberculosis outbreak in Massachusetts. So, you know, I got to go and look. I'm sorry. I have to go and research because I don't want to be putting out nothing that's not true. You know, a lot of people say a lot of things until you go and look it up and you'll be like, okay, that didn't really happen. That was hoax. Well, apparently, in Lynn, Massachusetts, more than 30 Lynn community health center employees and 800 patients are being tested to determine if they were exposed to tuberculosis after center doctors confirmed a case. Now, y'all keep that word in a case. Let's see. The center director, after confirming a single positive test for tuberculosis in a male healthcare worker around Labor Day, center medical workers contacted and tested employees as well as patients having sufficient exposure to warrant testing. Now, here is the catch to this. Now, you know, everybody going back to when Lynn officials say illegal immigration children are stressing services. And basically, you know, that article goes on to say, you know, all of the immigrant children that's coming over and what have you are bringing certain diseases with them. So, you know, that's where this is going. They're trying to connect the two of them together. So, as always, you know, word of mouth is something else. Because it could be something simple, but by the time the word of mouth comes around, it's overblown, and it's more than what it actually is, you know. And when they say outbreak, I was looking like, okay, an outbreak, good Lord. You know, but just there's just on one case, and that's all. Just one case, and they just testing people precautionary measures, which is, you know, something they always do. We always do it. So that's not a bad thing at all. I don't think it's a bad thing. And, you know, we have to be careful of what we say and how we say it. That's for sure. You know, because no matter how you say it, there's always someone that's going to misinterpret what you're trying to say and try and use it against you or use it for their own purposes. So we have to be careful with that kind of stuff. Let's see, in Lynn, it says this school year alone saw more than 600 new admissions. Among those students, 248 were from Guatemala. Flanagan Kennedy says of those 248 children, 126 were illegal undocumented minors. They are not literate in any language, so they do not need some skill. They do need some skills. In our school, I assume they are enrolling in school to receive those skills. That's what Lynn Superintendent of Schools had to say about it. Interesting. It's interesting. But see, I talked about sanctuary cities back last month. I think I was talking about when we were talking about immigration, and we were talking about sanctuary cities. And, you know, because it seems like every state has a sanctuary city. And what that means is if immigrants come in, you know, even if you stop them, you can't ask them for papers and anything like that. So I don't know if Lynn is a sanctuary city or not, but, you know, the United States, you know, once they get here, as far as kids, you know, they have certain laws. And here's the thing, even if they are going through the immigration process, you know, waiting on a hearing, you know, they still are allowed to go to school or do whatever they want until the hearing is there. And basically it's on what you call it, the honor system, that when their date come up, they'll go ahead and they'll go ahead and show up for their hearing, like I really would. I mean, let's be honest. I'm here. You know, I can get my education. Yeah, I'm going for it. The mayor also says the solution is to stem the flow of illegal unoccupied minors coming into her city on a federal level and provide federal assistance to ease budget constraints. The way this is going, Lynn looks like a microcosm of the United States in that we have been filled to capacity and we can't take any more without having the people who are already here suffer, she said. Okay. Y'all hear that, right? Without the people who are already living here suffering. Okay. I can't, you know, I'm not even going with that. Yeah. That's what's going on in Lynn, Massachusetts right now. And Interesting. One person, single positive test for tuberculosis, and it has triggered a tuberculosis outbreak because of word of mouth. Yeah, right. Anyway, so that's what that is. That's our lead-off story, and we through with that. So now it's time for the song of the day, because that's how much, and, you know, I just wanted to show how one little single thing like that can turn into an epidemic and a pandemic, you know, across just because of word of mouth. That's all I'm trying to say. But anyway, excuse me, it is what it is. All right, y'all, y'all ready for your songs of the day? I got two of them for you. Let's say I got Commodores and Night Shift. Then I got Aretha Franklin. What is it? I think it's Freeway of Love. I think that's what it is. But anyway, without further ado, we're going to stop right there. But before I do, of course, I got to give my co-host one word, see what he got to say about what we just talked about real fast. So, Clyde, what you got? Do you got anything you want to add to the thing about tuberculosis? Clyde, are you there? Okay, he must have muted himself.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I knew you was researching. You was looking up something, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. But as I was saying, man, is there anything you want to add before I go ahead with the songs of the day?
Oh, no, I'm waiting to, I can wait after the song. I'm sorry.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Oh, all right, I got you. All right, y'all. Without further ado, here go your two songs of there, Aretha Franklin and the Commodores. Enjoy.
Coming down on the night shift. Go! Come on, go!
All right, y'all. Hey, all right. There were two of the good songs there, man. Two of the classics, man. I'm telling you. Woo, the Commodores and Night Shift and Aretha Franklin and Freeway of Love in her pink Cadillac. That's what I'm talking about, man. You know, man, I'm telling you, you know, back in the day, Aretha was a good-looking old thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, buddy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was back in the day. Cause, you know, oh, my goodness. She's still crying, but, you know, you need a fork to get her through the door sometimes. But anyway, I shouldn't have said that. I take that back. I retract that statement. Because Aretha still could say she's still the queen of soul. That's right. Anyway, so hope you enjoyed those two right there. You know, Night Shift has always been one of my favorites, man. I'm telling you, I love that song. And Commodore is another one of those groups that, you know, they like Earth, Wind, and Fire, man. They just keep going, keep going, keep going. You can change the bodies, but the music is still the same. Oh, what can you say about that? Anyway. Welcome back to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I got my co-host, Cloud Nation, in the house with me today. And today, man, I do my job. I want my job. Man, we discussing employment, unemployment, the president's speech about what he plans, his strategy is to do about ISIS. And do y'all know we have a solar storm approaching us that should be reaching us here probably within the next we do Johnny Taylor tomorrow. I had planned to do something like that. So we do Johnny Taylor tomorrow, Bianchi. But solar storm, man, coming this way. So if your gadgets start acting crazy, you know, the so-called experts say we shouldn't experience too much disruption. But, you know, it's supposed to be a big one, but, you know, it's not going to come as close as they thought. So, you know, some things may work all right and some things may not. But see, they don't say nothing about the solar storms, do they? Yeah, but we got one coming, so y'all better watch out for that. I mean, woo! Because, you know, sometimes, like I say, they don't tell you till the last minute, and then you see the machines coming at you, it's too late. It is too late. Oh, so here's the story. So strong solar storm heading to Earth. And it says a strong solar flare is blasting its way to Earth. The worst of its power looks like it will barely skim above the planet and not cause many problems. Now, here's the key to that. It won't cause many problems. So my question is, what problems is it going to cause then? Oh, Lord have mercy. Y'all see my point here? You have to be careful about what you say and how you say it, man, because oh, that's crazy. It has been several years since Earth has had a solar storm of this size coming from sunspots smack in the middle of the sun. The director of Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder, Colorado, says the flare on the sun barely hits the extreme on forecaster scale. Okay, so if it barely hits the extreme, what does it hit? You know what I mean? What does it hit then? But with this worst effects missing Earth, it is only looking potentially strong at most when it arrives at Earth as a solar storm. New calculations from satellite data show that the worst of the energetic particles streaming from the sun likely will go north or above Earth this time. Mm-hmm. So where did it go last time? I was just asking, where did it go last time? I mean, really? This is going to go above Earth. What happened last time? So while the power grid may see fluctuations because the storm will cause changes in Earth's magnetic field, it won't knock power systems offline. It may cause slight disturbances in satellites and radio transmissions, but nothing major. Yeah, nothing major, unless you land on the road about to die, right? Okay, anyway. We're not scared of this one, Mr. Berger said. Well, I'm glad he's not scared of it, but dang, what about the rest of us? Should we be scared of it? I don't know. Anyway, storm is moving medium fast. Okay. The storm is moving medium fast, about 2.5 million miles per hour. Excuse me, if that is medium, I sure don't want to see fast. Are you kidding me? 2.5 million miles per hour. I can't even imagine how fast that is. And that's just medium. Woo, that is crazy. Meaning the soonest it could arrive is early Friday, but it could be later. Solar storms occur often, especially during peaks in the solar cycle, and don't directly harm people. There have been a giant magnetic explosion on the sun. Ooh, because it is pointed right at us. Oh, it is? Well, at least catch some of the cloud. Wow. It is pointed right at us. We're at least catch some of the cloud of highly energized and magnetized plasma that can disrupt Earth's magnetic sphere, which sometimes leads to temporary power grid problems. On the plus side, sun flares span the colorful northern light so people further south can see them. Okay, so we have a storm moving 2.5 million miles an hour, and only thing they worried about is that it would increase the northern light so we can see it further south. What kind of crap is that, child? You see? Oh, Lord have mercy. I can't help but look for that because that's hilarious, man. And they say that's medium. They say that's medium. You know, that's crazy. Lord. Oh, goodness. That is so funny. Anyway, I just thought I'd let y'all know that we had a medium solar storm headed our way. It's only moving 2.5 million miles an hour. You know, we shouldn't have any problems. The power grid will last. You know, radios will work, satellite will work, and everything like this. So you're okay. You're all right. That's what they say. You know, and it's not on the severe side. You know, I look at it this. Any storm traveling 2.5 million miles an hour, well, I consider that severe and serious. But the experts say it's not, so we're not going to worry about it. Okay? So we've talked about a TB outbreak. Now it's time to move right along. I got to get some more shout-outs. Diamond Radio Live is in the house. What's up? And then we got a couple of more guests to join us. 885-888-905 in the house. Welcome. Hope you enjoy the show. Oh, man, look at my switchboard. My switchboard has just gotten full all of a sudden. I'm glad I got a co-host because I didn't even know that. All right. So welcome to the show, y'all. I'm glad you're here. We're going to have some fun today. But, y'all, you know what? It wouldn't be a show without us having to talk about that man up there in that main office they called the White House and his little speech last night. That speech last night. You know, once again, he's sending 475 more troops, and these troops are advisors, trainers, coaches. Now, he said in the speech that he has sent several hundred. Now, from my observation, there's about 800, 900 of them on there. So that's more than several, and you're going to send 475 more. If you notice, they're sending them in increments. And they're all categorized as advisors. But we will not, and I say again, we will not have any boots on the ground over there. Okay. You civilians keep believing that, all right? That's all I'm going to say. I know better, and I know what's going on right now because I know who flew out of here the other day. And they definitely weren't advisors. You can guarantee that one. But anyway, I guess I wasn't supposed to tell that. Ooh. But anyway, before we go any further, man, I'm going to play this 9-minute part of the speech, and because I want to talk about this for about the next 20, 30 minutes maybe, and then we're going to get on to my job. You know what I mean? Because I want you to really pay attention to what this man's saying. And I know he means well, but basically the only thing he's doing is connecting the dots, crossing the T's and all that, because there's nothing but the bunch of doublespeak, and he's doing what it needs to be done to shut them folk up. Y'all got to remember now, it's an election year for them Democrats and the Republicans, for them senators. There's a midterm election coming up. So there's a whole lot riding on what's going on, not only in the Middle East, but what's going on here. So y'all keep that in mind. All right? So for the next 9 minutes or so, you're going to hear that man they call the president. And then after that, we're going to come back. I'm going to talk to my co-host. We're going to open up the lines. And we're going to read what you got to say in the chat room. And it's all rocking and rolling. All right? So without further ado, let's do this, man.
Wherever they are. That means I will not hesitate to take action against ISIL in Syria as well as Iraq. This is a core principle of my presidency. If you threaten America, you will find no safe haven. Second, we will increase our support to forces fighting these terrorists on the ground. In June, I deployed several hundred American service members to Iraq to assess how we can best support Iraqi security forces. Now that those teams have completed their work and Iraq has formed a government, we will send an additional 475 service members to Iraq. As I've said before, these American forces will not have a combat mission. We will not get dragged into another ground war in Iraq, but they are needed to support Iraqi and Kurdish forces with training, intelligence, and equipment. We'll also support Iraq's efforts to stand up National Guard units to help Sunni communities secure their own freedom from ISIL's control. Across the border in Syria, we have ramped up our military assistance to the Syrian opposition. Tonight, I call on Congress again to give us additional authorities and resources to train and equip these fighters. In the fight against ISIL, we cannot rely on an Assad regime that terrorizes its own people, a regime that will never regain the legitimacy it has lost. Instead, we must strengthen the opposition as the best counterweight to extremists like ISIL, while pursuing the political solution necessary to solve Syria's crisis once and for all. Third, we will continue to draw on our substantial counterterrorism capabilities to prevent ISIL attacks. Working with our partners, we will redouble our efforts to cut off its funding, improve our intelligence, strengthen our defenses, counter its warped ideology, and stem the flow of foreign fighters into and out of the Middle East. And in 2 weeks, I will chair a meeting of the UN Security Council to further mobilize the international community around this effort. Fourth, we will continue to provide humanitarian assistance to innocent civilians who've been displaced by this terrorist organization. This includes Sunni and Shia Muslims who are at grave risk, as well as tens of thousands of Christians and other religious minorities. We cannot allow these communities to be driven from their ancient homelands. So this is our strategy. And in each of these four parts of our strategy, America will be joined by a broad coalition of partners. Already, allies are flying planes with us over Iraq, sending arms and assistance to Iraqi security forces and the Syrian opposition, sharing intelligence and providing billions of dollars in humanitarian aid. Secretary Kerry was in Iraq today, meeting with the new government and supporting their efforts to promote unity. And in the coming days, he will travel across the Middle East and Europe to enlist more partners in this fight, especially Arab nations who can help mobilize Sunni communities in Iraq and Syria to drive these terrorists from their lands. This is American leadership at its best. We stand with people who fight for their own freedom, and we rally other nations on behalf of our common security and common humanity. My administration has also secured bipartisan support for this approach here at home. I have the authority to address the threat from ISIL, but I believe we are strongest as a nation when the President and Congress work together. So I welcome congressional support for this effort in order to show the world that Americans are united in confronting this danger. Now, it will take time to eradicate a cancer like ISIL. And any time we take military action, there are risks involved, especially to the servicemen and women who carry out these missions. But I want the American people to understand how this effort will be different from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. It will not involve American combat troops fighting on foreign soil. This counterterrorism campaign will be waged through a steady, relentless effort to take out ISIL wherever they exist using our air power and our support for partners' forces on the ground. This strategy of taking out terrorists who threaten us while supporting partners on the front lines is one that we have successfully pursued in Yemen and Somalia for years, and it is consistent with the approach I outlined earlier this year, to use force against anyone who threatens America's core interests, but to mobilize partners wherever possible to address broader challenges to international order. My fellow Americans, we live in a time of great change. Tomorrow marks 13 years since our country was attacked. Next week marks 6 years since our economy suffered its worst setback since the Great Depression. Yet, despite these shocks, through the pain we felt and the grueling work required to bounce back, America is better positioned today to seize the future than any other nation on Earth. Our technology companies and universities are unmatched. Our manufacturing and auto industries are thriving. Energy independence is closer than it's been in decades. For all the work that remains, our businesses are in the longest uninterrupted stretch of job creation in our history. Despite all the divisions and discord within our democracy, I see the grit and determination and common goodness of the American people every single day. And that makes me more confident than ever about our country's future. Abroad, American leadership is the one constant in an uncertain world. It is America that has the capacity and the will to mobilize the world against terrorists. It is America that has rallied the world against Russian aggression and in support of the Ukrainian people's right to determine their own destiny. It is America, our scientists, our doctors, our know-how that can help contain and cure the outbreak of Ebola. It is America that helped remove and destroy Syria's declared chemical weapons so that they can't pose a threat to the Syrian people or the world again. And it is America that is helping Muslim communities around the world, not just in the fight against terrorism, but in the fight for opportunity and tolerance and a more hopeful future. America, our endless blessings bestow an enduring burden. But as Americans, we welcome our responsibility to lead. From Europe to Asia, from the far reaches of Africa to war-torn capitals of the Middle East, we stand for freedom, for justice, for dignity. These are values that have guided our nation since its founding. Tonight, I ask for your support in carrying that leadership forward. I do so as a commander-in-chief who could not be prouder of our men and women in uniform. Pilots who bravely fly in the face of danger above the Middle East, and service members who support our partners on the ground. When we helped prevent the massacre of civilians trapped on a distant mountain, here's what one of them said. We owe our American friends our lives. Our children will always remember that there was someone who felt our struggle and made a long journey to protect innocent people. That is the difference we make in the world. And our own safety, our own security, depends upon our willingness to do what it takes to defend this nation and uphold the values that we stand for. Timeless ideals, that will endure long after those who offer only hate and destruction have been vanquished from the earth. May God bless our troops, and may God bless the United States of America.
All right, that was the strategy, the full of the strategies that the president had last night as far as dealing with ISIS, ISIL. For those that kind of got confused, ISIL and ISIS are the same people. You know, it just depends on who you're talking to. You know, they call them by different names. They're the same individuals. Okay, yeah, they're the same individuals. So don't get confused. They are the same people. You know, depending on how they're talking about them, one moment they'll be ISIS, and then sometimes they'll be ISIL. So let's call them ICY and to be through with it. But anyway, that was the president's, you know, the meat of the president's speech last night. And personally, listening to it, I thought it was a bunch of double talk myself. I really did. But, of course, you know, they have members of Congress that have their own little take on what was supposed to be said. Let's see. Let's take a look here. Congressional leaders expressed tentative support immediately after his speech, last president's speech. But members of Congress divided not only along partisan lines, but between hawkish lawmakers more willing to intervene in a overseas military offensive and liberals and Tea Party members who prefer an isolationist stance after more than a decade of wars. Of course, Mr. Crybaby John Boehner said, "The president has finally begun to make the case the nation has needed him to make for quite some time, that destroying this terrorist threat requires decisive action. His speech is not the same as a strategy. However, while the president presented a compelling case for action, many questions remain about the way in which the president intends to act." Other Republicans said criticism of how long it took him to reach this decision. They were complaining about it took him so long. All right, well, they see Republican Michael McCall, Republican in front of the state of Texas, said, "Tonight the president seemed to have faced reality." And he happens to be the chair of the House Homeland Security Committee. Senator Mark Begich, Democrat of Alaska, said he opposed arming the Syrian rebels without greater assurance that they aren't arming extremists who will eventually use the weapons against us. That's a smart man, because he knows more than what's really going on, right? He knows that's what has happened now. So, whoop. And then, of course, we got the man, John McCain. The man is always going to go and bomb somebody, says that he supported most of the steps President Obama outlined, but said the president was downplaying the threat. And the president really doesn't have a grasp on how serious the threat of ISIS is. Now, you know what? To John McCain, everything is a serious threat. I'm telling you. You know, you form a bicycle gang, and you speed too long. Hey, you a serious threat, and we're gonna have to do something about that. We're gonna bomb you. Of course, his running dog, Senator Dianne Feinstein, said, "We must show ISIL we have the political will, the military might, and the strength of a united country." I don't know what she's been reading or smoking, but, you know, that ain't even really happening. Hell. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, my buddies out here in military side of the house, they're not trying to hear that nonsense. I'm going to be honest with you. They're not trying to hear that. You know, they're like, okay, leave them folk alone. You know, and then, oh, man. You know, and it's interesting because he says, like in Yemen and Somalia, has anyone forgotten about Black Hawk Down in Somalia? Oh, we forgot about that, right? Okay. Yeah. So we got this great god dang gone air bombing campaign going on. But here's the question. What happens when one of those planes gets shot down and one of our pilots are taken hostage? Then what? Are we still going to stick to our guns about no boots on the ground. Oh, I forgot. We already have boots on the ground. Oh, yes, we do. Not only the ones that there are so-called advisors, but we have boots on the ground that you don't know about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called Black Ops, but, you know, y'all figure that out eventually, right? Right. Okay, anyway. Then, once again, America is leading everyone. We took the lead when Russia invaded Ukraine. You know, we took the lead to stop, what's his name? Assad in Syria. You know, we took the lead to help the Muslim community fight ISIL-ism, ISIS. And, of course, we took the lead in helping take care of the Ebola outbreak. The Americans are doing it again. We're winning. We're showing that we are the force to be reckoned with. Really believe that? He mentioned a broad coalition of partners. Who are these partners? Most of our partners that went to war with us with Iraq and Afghanistan, they have no idea. They don't trust us that much anymore. Did we have to send anybody to help us do anything? You know? Assad told the United States, if you plan on coming over here bombing anything in my country, you need flying in my country, you need permission. Do y'all get my message here? This is a bunch of bull crap. A bunch of double speak. And once again, we should leave all this mess alone. Because the same people that we fight now are the same people that we were giving weapons to back in the day to fight Assad. Oh, but Assad, you know, oh boy, they done switched their thing now to fight Al-Qaeda. You fight all these different people. Now, once again, they decided, hey, look, we want our country back now. Let's do some things. Now, what are we going to do? You know, you know, and Putin is something else. Cause Putin, like, whatever, man. You do what you got to do because I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm taking back what's mine. I'm keeping what's mine. And if you think you're going to come over here, well, come on, because I got something special planned for you. And he knows the United States and nobody else going to come over there and bother him. Yeah, NATO is supposed to be. Where's this? You know, and here's the thing. Where's this reactionary force that NATO is building? Why do they want to build up against Russia? Why don't they go over there and mess with ISIL and all them? Why not? But it's amazing how the speech came one day prior to the 9/11 anniversary. Yeah, I'm talking about that, huh? When most Americans are you know, thinking about, you know, the Twin Towers coming down. Of course, nobody mentioned Building 7. But, you know, we have memorials going on, the moment of silence and all that. So why not the night before we just have a speech to rev it up, get the citizens revved up, and you can hear the chat going across the country, USA, USA, USA. But most of in this country is yelling, we are broke, we are broke, we want a job, we want a job. It's double speak. It's double speak. It's political. And there's a bunch of hogwash. I'm just going to tell you like it is. I'm just going to tell you. That's what that is. What we need to do, pull it up. Leave them folk alone over there and let them figure it out. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. That's what we need to do. I've been there. More than y'all would even recognize, we know about. But I have been there. We need to leave them people alone. Let them work it out. They haven't worked it out over many, many generations, many, many years. They haven't done this. This has been going on back and forth forever. And we think we going to correct this now because we going to go over there and bomb a couple of sites, and then we going to go over there and bomb some more sites, and then we going to send special forces in to do this and do that, and it's going to continue to go on. But we got to play the, you know, the political game has to be played. It's just that simple. The political game has to be played. You know, and as long as we as Americans are falling for this political game, oh, boy, they got us by the, boy, I tell you, they got us by the nose, leading us anywhere we want to go. I'm telling y'all, don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't fall for the okey-doke. And that's what it is. It's okey-doke. It is. It's okey-doke. A classic okey-doke. I know a lot of my old school, y'all know what the okey-doke is. For those that are not familiar with the term okey-doke, man, they pulling your leg. Who's in telling you it's dirt? That's what's really going on. Hey, yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. So you keep believing. You keep believing we going over there to help some people do this. We ain't doing no one. We ain't trying to help no one but ourselves. And when I say ourselves, I'm not really talking about ourselves as in the citizens. They're going over there to help themselves in their pockets and their investments. That's why we over there. Just like they tried to go on Somalia in Africa to get a foothold in there. They thought they were going to set up and start raping them. But that changed real fast. Yes, it did. But you know what? It's okay. We're gonna walk through it like we always do, with our eyes closed, ears closed, and just with the string attached to our noses, and we okay. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah. So, you know, it's all right. It's okay. And that's my take on the president's speech. It is. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else I can say about it. It's double speak. It's political. And he really didn't say no more than he's been saying over the last few months. Besides, he's authorized bombing. Okay, we knew that already. So what else is going on? Anyway, I'm through. I'm through. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to bring my co-host in, Mr. Pianke. I mean, I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Pianke, you are not my co-host. I can't have you as a co-host. I'll be drinking all day, every day. Woo. But you do bring up some good points, though. But anyway, let me bring in my co-host, Cloud Nation, and see what he has to say before we get on to the main topic of the day. I want my job. Pianke, you be got a voodoo doll or something going on right now. Cloud Nation, talk to me, man. What's going on?
Oh, man. I got a chance to watch I didn't see it live, but I got a chance to watch the president's speech. And, you know, we talked about everything from the various embargoes to the different weapons makers and their need for commerce. They needed money. They needed to find a way to add another stream of income because their market was down. And I think this really boils down to that, you know, here's another opportunity for weapons makers, people who make planes and things of that nature, to start bringing in more income. And this also is designed to make the citizens more open-minded when it comes to, putting boots on the ground and provoking the type of attitudes that have caused people to say, yeah, give them more money for the budget, increase that budget for weapons, increase the military budget, increase the variety of different budgets so that all these different privatized companies and contractors who benefit from war can can, you know, benefit from the fruits of a war again. So that's when I listened to what was said. That's all that I heard. I heard, I heard the bank, the cash register. I just kept hearing cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. That's all I hear when I hear politicians speak nowadays. It's like listening to an advertisement ad for a particular company. This ad is sponsored by so-and-so. You know, that's all I hear when I listen to politicians today.
You know what? You know, we laughing, but you know what? You are so right. You are so right. You know, that's what I say. It's doublespeak, man. That's what it is. It's a doublespeak. And it's just crazy because, you know, everybody talking about, well, yeah, he finally he said the same thing he's been saying over the whole time. You know, okay, we going to see what happens. You know what I mean? We going to see what happens. That's it. But, hey, you know, if that's what they take, and as I mentioned before, you do have to remember now this is an election year. And as in an election year, you know, he has to say things that's going to get his fellow Democrats elected so they can control Congress. You know, because that's a big thing right now. You know, the fight over who's going to control the House. And I mean, who's going to control the Senate, you know, and hey, it can be, you know, so I got to say certain things and, you know, we got to fight this. But no, if you notice, all these great polls are coming out, but who are they polling? You know, and how are they wording the polling? Because we know everything can be framed in a certain way to say whatever. So it's all good. It's all good. Anyway. All right, y'all leave my co-host alone now. Leave my co-host alone. All right, so anyway. That was the president's speech last night. If you want to say anything, you got about 5 minutes to go on and get on the air and go on to say it or say it in the chat room because we're going to move on to the major topic of the day. I want my job, and I want my job. And if you are black or African-American in the world today, you better hurry up and get it because things aren't looking too spiffy for you. I'm telling you, there's some statistics I got just in my little region. Oh, my goodness, man, it's shocking, shocking, shocking. But it is what it is. So, you know, see, y'all gonna make me start singing right now because here we go, here we go, here we go. Oh, you know what? It's all good, you know. And you know what? So I'll say that in a minute. I'll say that in a minute. Before we get really going here. What I'm going to do is we're going to go on and make this money real quick because, you know, we got to make some money here. You know, ain't like y'all supporting anything. So we're going to make some money real fast. I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, all right. Anyway, hold up, hold up. We got a hand up real fast. So let me bring Vernon in here real fast. And before I move on to the next one, Vernon, my cuz, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man?
Not a thing.
Hey man, I just wanted to make this kind of short and sweet. You know, we kind of looked at Barack Obama when he was being elected. A lot of us did, black people, and then, you know, we looked at him as a fellow black man, and really expected him to be a whole lot different than any other politician we had seen in the past. But the fact is, Barack Obama is nothing but a politician. He has a politician mind frame. I mean, the things that he's doing are the things that we need to expect of him to do because he's not going to do nothing more or nothing less than what your typical politician will do. That's just it. And when you listen to him talk, I mean, you don't hear you're not listening to a person that's looking for anything for a particular group of people or anything like that. You hear the typical politician that you have heard in the past through the Bush, through Clinton, through Reagan, through all of you hear the same type of thing out of him that you hear out of those guys that came before him. That's just who he is. He's a politician, man. That's all I got to say, man.
And you know what, though? You said a whole lot right there. You said a whole lot. Because, see, here's the thing. You know, a lot of people don't understand that Barack Obama is in the same bloodline as Bush Sr., Bush Jr., Johnson, and Truman. They don't know that. You know, so people don't know that. They wouldn't have voted for him, especially not black folk. Let's be honest.
if you think back into the when they was doing doing the little speeches and things before the election and all that, before Barack ever got elected in. You remember all the low blows that a lot of the white candidates and things were throwing at him, and you know, kind of using a few little racial slurs and stuff. You've never seen Obama get upset about any of that stuff, man. He never acted out of character or anything. That was like a, okay, we're gonna get this guy in. This is the guy we can get to do what we want to do, and we're gonna get the black people to side with him. And the worst thing you can do is try to make it look like, for black people, is make it look like, okay, we're throwing low blows at this black guy, and we're going to try to embarrass him on national TV. And then all of a sudden, black people going to jump on his coattail and follow him. So regardless of what Obama do now, black people think he is the man. You know, regardless of what he say, they're going to bag him on everything, even though this whole great thing with Obama and the rest of the administration and everything that came before him, all of them are in cahoots. And that's one thing that black people got to realize, that they are all in cahoots, man. There is nothing, Obama ain't going to do nothing extravagant for you just because you're a black person. They can hang that up.
Well, you know what, Vernon, you have a great point. And to be honest with you, black folk haven't even asked him to do anything for him. But what another thing is, look, another thing is, you know, everybody thinks the blacks came out and voted in record numbers. The normal blacks didn't do it. It was the young Hispanic and young first time voting blacks / African American that got him elected, actually. And of course, the women, because personally, I wanted to vote for Michelle. You know, I wanted to get a personal appearance with Michelle, you know, because, Michelle is Michelle. But, you know, that's who actually got him elected. But, they'll group it all together and say, well, you know, he got the black vote and he got the Hispanic. No, he got the younger voters. That's how he got in, be honest with you.
But, Eric, have you heard? I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, you're a black guy, just like I am.
Uh-huh. Am I? Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. I got to look in the mirror for a moment. Oh, yeah. I'm black.
Okay. But haven't you heard black people kind of sound like when they talk about Obama? You know, they kind of put him up in that little category of the great hope for black people, and they kind of feel like he owed them something. I'm sure you have heard that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Look, I'm sorry. White people got Obama elected. Duh. Yeah, duh is right, because you know what? I'm not even going to hit with y'all today, okay? Look, it's simple. White people didn't get Obama elected anyway. The elite told Obama he was going to be the president because of his bloodline. That's what was going on. So y'all want to think that happened too? Well, you go right ahead. Okay, I'm telling you. Clarence Thomas told you who got him elected. Okay? Clarence Thomas said it. Elite. Because they felt that he acted the way a black man was supposed to act. That was simple. Shut up, damn it. Anyway, man, see, I'm trying to have a good thing. It's all good. It's all good.
That's all good, man.
Yeah, you know, I love my listeners, man, because they keep me on my toes. I got to admit, you know, and guess what? You want to say black people can never be the reason a president gets elected. You're right, but we can be the reason he gets shot.
he's absolutely correct, but. I guess my whole argument is that, you know, black people had a whole lot of hope. They felt like Obama was supposed to be like this big Superman that was going, you know, put black people on top. And a lot of them that, you know, they felt like Obama, regardless of whether it was the black vote or the white vote that got him in, I hear a lot of black people say that, you know, he's not doing this and he ain't done that for the black people and this, that. He didn't get in there to do things with black people. That wasn't the reason for him to get in there.
That's true.
The reason for him to get in there is just what he has done.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And you know, the thing about it, you know, his mystique came from when he gave the address at the Democratic National Convention, you know, prior. So that's where he was a senator. You know, because, you know, he has a way of giving a speech that'll get you riled up and, you know, make you think for the, you know, black folks, you know, that make them think they back in church somewhere. You know, oh, wait a minute, hallelujah, praise them. Yeah, you know. And for you, that's all they need, man. You know, I'll be honest with you.
What was the first thing he done when he come in office? He bailed out the big bank, right or wrong?
Right.
That was his first thing, man. He was doing just what he was put there to do, bro.
Yep, exactly. And then he told a homosexual lobbyist, hey, I got y'all next.
Eric, I'm back quiet, man. Y'all go ahead and do your thing. I'm listening, bro.
I'm just saying, you know. You know, that's what he said. That what happened. You know, he followed. That's what went on. Yeah, I know somebody mad at me right about now. Ooh.
Oh, I guarantee you, bro.
But that's all right. I'm telling y'all like it is. Some said I can't think outside the box. God dang it, I crushed the box. What are you talking about? I'm always outside the dang on box. It's y'all that try to keep me in the box. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. But anyway. Anyway, such is life. Such is life. You know, hey, I got a clip. Look, I have a clip where he's welcoming. They had a what was it? It was some type of gay Olympics or something like that. I got a clip to where he's welcoming all them to the gay Olympics. You know, and in fact, you know what? I'll play that probably tomorrow for y'all. Cause so don't tell me he wasn't. Anyway, his agenda was exactly what he wanted it to be. And see, y'all forget he had that clip. They showed that clip when he was talking to Putin, talking about, you know, after I get elected the second time, I have more flexibility. You see what Putin did to him, right? Bent him over and stuck him right in his rear end. That's what Putin did. Putin like, I ain't trying to bother with this because I know you up to no good. See? Everybody forget about that little clip right there, huh?
Hey, we got a little bet going, me and some of the guys, man. We got a bet going on how quick is Obama going to come out the closet. Is it going to be after he leave office or is it going to be before he goes?
I'm not even messing with you.
Hey, Eric, you go ahead and mute me, man. It's going to get a little loud on my end, bro. Y'all be good. I'm listening,
all
though.
Right, all right. Have a good one. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, we laughing, man, but that's not the first time I've heard that. Hey, some of them say Michelle is a man, so I don't know. But God dang it, she a man. She wasn't fine as man. That's all I got to say. All right, anyway, let me go ahead and play this commercial, man. We come back. We talk about jobs. I want my job, all right? So, see y'all. Wow, I see y'all in a few.
Thank you. Let's Talk is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/letstalk, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service.
Got to push the right button. Anyway, so audibletrial.com/letstalk, man. Hey, man, go and get your books, man, all right? Go and get your free audio books. You know, I'm listening to 12 Years a Slave right now, and I realize, it's some bad stuff, man. They have a library with over 150,000 titles. I mean, and, man, they have stuff you can always get on. You got business classics, erotica, sexuality, fiction, history, romance, mystery / thrillers, sci-fi and fantasy, self-development, even for kids and young adults. Hey, man, I'm telling you, just go and check it out. 30 days free, get your free audio book. You can listen to it while you're driving to work, driving home, on a long trip, or whatever you want to do, man. Just try it out. And like I say, audibletrial.com/letstalk, and, you know, you get a special deal. You get a free book. You know, so it's all good, man. It's all good. Check it out. Hey, it's always good. You know, if for some of y'all that believe in reading is fundamental, maybe hearing is fundamental for you, you can comprehend from listening. It's all good. It's all good. All right. So once again, it's audibletrial.com/letstalk. And you know what else is going on, man? You know what else is going on, man? I'm gonna have a couple of more for you here in a little bit, but that's it. All right, so 40 minutes left in the show. We finna get on our main topic. You know, I kind of stayed on the president a little bit longer than I thought about. I wanted to, but it's okay. So you know what we about to do now? This is what we about to do. We finna talk about, I want my job. That's right, I want my job. And you know, we all were supposed to, hold on, Pianki, before I bring you in. We were supposed to, from ones that was on the line yesterday, you know, go and check out the statistics in your local area or what have you. And I did the same. You know, and my local areas consist of three different, you know, little cities that can, you know, constitutes, a little Central Texas. And the average total, you know, the average unemployment rate right now in my area is 8.27%. You know, that's for everyone, okay? That's for everyone. Now, if we go by what they say the national average is for African Americans, which is double whatever your average is, we're looking at 16.6% unemployment rate for African Americans just here in my area total. Now, I mean, and I went a whole lot of places, and it's amazing how some, you know, it's hard to find anything broken down demographically in my area. And I went to the Chamber of Commerce, City Hall, I went all over the place. But from some of the information I did receive was very, very enlightening. Now, based on the census in 2010, and I'm just talking from my area, okay, blacks alone represent 34.1%. This is 2010, okay, 34.1% of the population. In 2012, okay, we represented 32.8% of the population. Listen to this, man, 32.8%. In 2017, it is projected that you represent 31.3% of the population in Central Texas. Did anybody know how those numbers are going backwards? Now, let me read these other ones. Whites, 2010, 45.1%. 2012, 45.7%. 2017, same. 45.7%. So they stayed where they were. Yeah. You know, yeah, interesting. And this is another one I found. Is Asians alone. You know, 2010. This is in my area now, Central Texas. 4.4%. 2012, 4.3%. 2017, 5%. So as everyone else is gaining, the black population here in Central Texas is declining. Why is that? I'm telling you, I'm putting it out there. I'm just giving you what I'm giving you. You can believe it, you don't have to believe it, but I'm just saying, I'm looking at the numbers that I got from the Chamber of Commerce this morning. I didn't get it yesterday, last week. I didn't get it offline. I got it from the Chamber of Commerce this morning, what their projections are. What is that telling us? You know, there is some credibility to the thought that, hey, we're being eliminated. We are. We're being eliminated. Y'all don't want to admit it, though. Oh, he go again. He got to start talking that mess. That's right, because the numbers are beginning to prove it. That's right. The numbers are beginning to prove it. Right now, wow. Let's see. And you know, y'all can bite me on it. Y'all can say I'm crazy, but I'm just telling you what it is. I'm telling you, that's what it is in mind. But what we're going to do right now, is we you know, like I say, everybody's supposed to call in with their numbers, and we're going to compare nationwide and see exactly what's going on. Is it just a regional thing, or is it nationwide? Because we all know there's a lot of people calling from different places. Right. So without further ado, let me bring that man in from St. Louis. I know he know what his numbers are. And Chris, I see you. I'm waiting for you to get your numbers in here as well. Cloud, your mic is open. You want to speak first before I open mic? Pinky's mic up.
Not at all. I can wait. I want to hear from everybody.
You sure are crazy to say no mistake. Blacks are not being eliminated. They are moving to other geographical areas. You are so right. You sure are crazy. You know what that geographical area is? It's called the cemetery. God dang it. That's where they're moving to because they're being put there. It's either the cemetery or the prison. That's right. Or, it's another thing, too. They're classifying themselves as women. We men's, and we just got to play, and we want to be your man. We going to form us a sorority, but we a bunch of men, and we going to dance like this and dance like that. You sure are crazy, really? Are you really? You really going to go with that, right? They're just moving to larger cities. Wow. The black part over is not declining in the USA. How the hell you figure that's not happening? But see, that's okay, because you live out there in one of them rural areas, don't you? I know you do, but it's okay. And guess 1441 is going with you. Okay, all right. You know, we live to disagree. It's okay. I love you regardless. I'm glad you feel that way. Yeah, you're right. We're moving to largest places like Atlanta, places like D.C. Where else can we go? Shoot. I don't know. What's another chocolate city? Charlotte, Carolina. Let's see. Maybe L.A. Dallas. I don't know. L.A. Oh, really? New York. Yeah, I forgot. Jersey. Don't forget Jersey. Go for it, y'all. There we go. So what are the unemployment rates in those areas? Huh? What are the unemployment rates in those areas? What are the projected numbers as far as people in that area? Hey, look that up, somebody, and let me know what it says. If I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I admit I'm wrong. You send me some facts and show me that I'm wrong. I admit on the air that I'm wrong. But until that happens, I'm looking at my numbers. I know what my numbers saying in my area. Okay? Now, you sure are crazy. You know, your area consists of a whole different realm, and your area is mostly consisted of Hispanics. We know this. I know this. So that's a whole different thing. But anyway, it's all good. So let me open up P. Yankee's line. And wait a minute. Cloud, you got anything for me before I move open P. Yankee up? I think I asked you this before. I'm going to ask it again.
Oh, no, not yet. I want to pull up all that. I'm looking up the data that you were talking about regarding D.C., I believe you said Atlanta, and New Jersey, right? Those are the ones right. you mentioned in Dallas?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So I'm looking that up now.
Okay, all right. So let me bring P. Yankee in. P. Yankee, what's going on, my brother?
You know, they got these organizations.
I thought you were
these organizations.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
You got these organizations like they have out there in San Francisco, these welcome back organizations that's preparing foreigners and immigrants for the medical field by the tens of thousands.
Mm. Wow.
I said before, that these immigrants need to, you got Americans that's without jobs. And the funny thing about it, this country give aid to these foreign countries, whereas they can perfect schools to train and increase the skills of their people. And then when you have these imperialistic excursions going on, some foreign policy, some agreement is going to be made, whereas we have to offer them so many visas, H-2s and all the others, whatever they are. And they come here, and Americans are sitting on the sideline, swamped with trillions of dollars in student loan debt. When Britain and France have these problems, they start opening the door so that these people can exit, so that they folks can have jobs.
Right.
It's just like the same thing with these kids, these children coming up on these buses out of Ecuador and Guatemala. Mm-hmm. They're claiming that the drug cartels are so bad that they have to leave. Well, instead of the Pentagon giving these cities all this military equipment, Raptors and rocket launchers and all that crazy mess, why don't they give it to those cities down there so they can fight the cartel? Thus, by alleviating this mass exit to the U.S., stop giving cartels weapons by way of Fast and Furious. That's causing this mess. What's so doggone simple about that? Or should I say hard?
What's so hard about that? What's so hard about it is, number one, Yankee, you know what it is. It's all financial. You know that. Right?
Where is the outcry?
There is. You got to want to know about it for there to be an outcry.
I say you should turn them around, give them a Happy Meal and a bottle of water, and put Al Sharpton on the bus since he's so supportive of these ideas of mass immigration. And let him go back down there with him and talk no justice, no peace in order to get that stuff straightened out down there.
You know, that's a good one, Yankee. But you know they've been a shot of hell down there. Coming down there with that nonsense. Then, how are these politicians going to make their money? You know, it's all a financial windfall for somebody. That's why the borders will never be closed. You know, as long as there's a market for people to stuff stuff up their nose, shoot it up their arms, or roll it up and smoke it, you know, it's always a market. And until the United States of America legalized some of that all the way around, it's going to continue to see. Here's what people don't understand: a lot of these individuals coming across this border, they're not just coming just to be coming. Okay, it's a reason why they're coming. So, you know, you can take Al down there and whatever, but until the U.S. government starts wanting to slide down there and get their nose dirty and supply and pay all these cartels and things like that, it's not going to stop, Pianki. It's not. You know, of course, every now and then, you know, somebody make it seem like it's a big issue. You know, we got immigrants coming across the border. But as soon as you notice, it'll die down. But the problem is still there. You know, like Rick Perry. Rick Perry was talking all
they
that
noise.
They
need to close the borders.
They
expel
not gonna,
all those that's here illegal.
It's simple, Pianki. If they need to close the borders, they need to give some jobs out. Just that simple. How are they going to do that? Apparently to the black folk, because black folk are really suffering here. I'm looking at some national numbers here at Pianki, and the different areas where blacks and compared to white, the rest of the U.S. as far as jobs, and it's amazing, man. It really is.
Well, black folks is first, and blacks is first in everything negative, practically.
Yeah,
when it
exactly.
comes down to when
yeah,
it comes
why
down
is
to
that?
Measuring if you're American.
Why
mean, sometimes and sometimes and hell, they promote some of the stuff that causes that. Like I said, and here Al Sharpton talking up for the illegals. My goodness,
Al Sharpton, what?
Talking up for the illegals. Public schools have to contribute to that. Look at your historical black. Well, absolutely. Look at your historical black universities and colleges. Where the graduation rate is, I mean, you only got 5 schools, maybe 6, with a graduation rate that's over 50%. The rest of it is, in essence, 6 years. So black kids that's going to those schools have to spend 50% more than they should be spending just to graduate. And it really is not the kids' fault. It's where they're coming from. They're not prepared. And then you support that mess. I mean, just think about this. If where you coming from is not preparing you, then where you coming from, you got all sorts of supportive, cheer me on movements and teachers union in order to promote more and larger of what is producing these bad outcomes. What's the logic in this? Look at the reports on Head Start. Look at the billions of dollars you spend there. Why come parents can't have full choice to put their child where they want to be? How you blaming parents for something that they have no control of? When parents say we want to go this direction, somebody else say, no, you should be going in that direction. And after you go in that direction, then you get blamed because of the negative outcomes. Where is the logic?
Okay, so how many of them are standing up for, you know, how many of them are standing up saying, okay, look, this is not right. What is it we need to do?
Well, they do stand up, but you don't get the, unless you have something like a Ferguson, you don't get the type of coverage that you should do when you stand up. The microphone and the cameras are always posed on organizations like the NAACP, who's totally against school choice.
Well, we're not even going to talk about the NAACP because, you know, that's a organization that is very seldom heard from unless something is going on. And, you know, that's interesting in itself. And, you know, I'm excited if I can get somebody from the NAACP on the show.
You know, just like you were talking about this ISIS, here he wants $500 million in order to support something, actually, that they really created themselves. And as I mentioned earlier, you got students here who swap with student loans because they can't find an occupation in the applicable degrees that they went to school for and borrowed money to do so. So where's the logic in all that, Eric?
There is no logic, Pianki, and that's what I'm trying to say. There is no logic in it. You know, that's why the title of the show is I Want My Job. You know, I've gone to school, then did all this so-called to reach the American dream, and now that I'm out, or, you know, I finished my degree program, I've done what you said I needed to do, but yet I'm still walking around here trying to look for a job, or I'm stuck somewhere slinging burgers or, You know, and you know what? The interesting thing, though, I was reading last evening, and I came across a very interesting article that said most African-American women now are mainly starting their own businesses, which, you know, kind of throws the numbers off a little bit. And I applaud anyone who's willing to actually go out there and has enough gumption to try and start their own business. Because basically, you know, in today's society, that's what it's going to take. You know, for you, because, I mean, really, anything else, you trying to go with the system, you know, it's not made for us. And that's why we have such disproportionate unemployment rates throughout our different cities and counties and things of that nature. Now, hold on for a minute, P. Yankee. All right, y'all, who was on the line with me yesterday? I'm waiting on your numbers, God dang it. Don't run away from me now. Y'all said y'all going to have them today, so I want to see them.
You know, I hear hear blacks complain about the Republicans and the Tea Party. Oh, they evil, and they treat Obama mean because he's black. They don't want him to be president. But hell, Obama is initiating war actions against countries' leaders that the people elected. Take Syria. Al-Assad was elected just recently again. Mubarak was elected. Jammeh and Gami, of course, they ain't started messing with him yet, but they've been saying some disparaging things about him. Hugo Chavez was duly elected. You just have an assassination in Brazil, I can't think of the guy's name, I think it was Campos. Another one of those mysterious airplane crashes, and we can take a whole show talking about them, going all the way back to, I think, Allende. But hell, just because these people don't want to go along with what you want, well, we're going to assassinate them. You know, they tried to assassinate George Bush Sr.'s plane that was headed down in South America. Something caused him to delay it or miss it. So how can you support? Well, where's the outcry with some of the things that this guy, I mean, you outcry when it appears that Tea Party is against him, but you look at the policies that he's putting forth, killing up whole wedding groups just to get one so-called quote-unquote terrorist. These people don't forget that.
I'm not arguing with you on that, P. Yankee. I'm not arguing with you that. You know, and you know, it's interesting because it's like, how can I put it? It's interesting, as in his speech, he mentioned about these so-called coalition partners or what have you. And if you know anything about this, you know, most of them aren't trying to get involved with this thing because they don't trust the United States from what has happened before. You know, so that's why I basically said it was nothing but a bunch of doublespeak. You understand what I'm saying? And if you roll that back to here to the United States, it's the same thing when it comes to employment and unemployment. It's a bunch of doublespeak. You know, look, it's like this. I'm a do this, I'm a do that. But the main thing is we're going to make it seem like we're helping, but we're not. We're going to keep it going the status quo as is, and we're going to just slide it on through, and nobody really going to pay attention because we're going to create this great diversion on the other end. And that's exactly what goes on.
Well, I know those statistics that you're looking at, especially when it talks about not only the mean income, but the medium income. The mean wealth and median wealth compared to blacks, last of everybody, even Latinos.
Yeah, everybody. Exactly.
Everybody.
Everybody.
And if anybody comes through the airport, through immigration last week, giving them another month, and they'll be head of a blacks too.
So why is that? Why is that, Pianki? Why is that? You know why?
They caught up in one of these dog chase they tail schemes.
We just talked about.
I mean, that's black society's fault. Quote unquote, terrible leadership, not bad leadership. How in the world are you going to keep your children in something that has a long continuous, as far back as you can see? Reminds me of the movie Never Ending Story. It has produced nothing but it produced the dismal results that you are quoting today.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, hold on for a minute. Let's see. I got something placed on in the Facebook link, and it says, it's not just that a greater share of African Americans are out of work. It's also that they continue to seek jobs for longer than whites do. Last month, the unemployment rate for white Americans was 5.4%. For black Americans, it was more than twice that at 11.5%. The numbers are down from 13.5% about the same time last year. Unemployment in the African-American community remains in the double digits, causing alarm among some civil rights leaders. African-American women are the only that demographic in the United States whose employment rate has not improved over the past year. Okay. Yeah, okay. This is something I put in there. All right, I see. Still at it.
You're reading your own comments. Damn.
Yeah, from what I've been thinking. But, yeah, I was reading that because I thought somebody sent it, but they were just doing their own little thing. But anyway, it's amazing because African American women, it seems like they are at the bottom end of it. But in the same thing, statistics show that they are the ones that are stepping outside the so-called box and beginning their own businesses. You know, but that does not equate into the numbers as far as the community in whole. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So, even though numbers say one thing, you have to look at the blacks that are actually outside of this so-called squared off box that is actually doing their own thing and, employing their own, employing individuals. Of course, certain numbers, you have to have a certain amount of employees for you to really affect the larger number. But you have to look at that as well. And sometimes I think we forget that when we start talking about things such as this.
Yeah, now, we talk about and harp on minimum wage. You know how many people? According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you know how many Americans are working at minimum or below minimum wage? Only 3.3 million. Did you hear what I said? I mean, don't believe me. Check it yourself.
Well, you know,
3.3 million that's working at or below minimum wage. Now, I might have been reading the chart wrong. Somebody can help me out. The latest chart, the latest information, a compilation that they have posted.
Uh-huh.
Well, my goodness, listening to all this noise about wanting people to get up to $15 an hour, which I don't care myself. I don't eat fast food like that because they surely will grow up. But we only talking about 3.3 million. Compare that to the number of people that's getting supplemental on food stamps, and then compare that to the number, like you just got through mentioning, that's unemployed and getting no type of minimum wage, getting no wage.
Yeah. And I was about to add to that. I'm like, okay. And then you have to see, and that's what thing about these numbers that you really have to pay attention to. It's so much that goes into them. And if you take and start adding this number with that number, you dividing it by this number, do you really get a true aggregate number, or is it just another way to dilute it or make the number say what you want them to say?
Well, Eric, here's the point.
I know here in my community, I know we have much turnover because it's a military community. So, people come and go. We know that already here in this community. But for those that were raised and born here and all that stuff, there is numbers that can be had, but of course, it's not broken down demographically that easily here because I haven't been able to find it because of it's a transition that goes on because of the military here. But I'm sorry, go ahead, Bianchi, what you had to say?
Well, here's another point too. Why is there so much concern on minimum wage anyway? I mean, for long as I remember, when you see the face of supporters of minimum wage, it's always a black face. Maybe not always, but majority of the time when you pose the camera. Why is the concern? If if I may be mistaken on these numbers too, if 20% of the medical doctors in the United States is Indian, so what was it, what program did they put in place in order to produce that type of demographics in that particular profession? It surely wasn't a demographic to produce minimum wage job takers. I mean, at what point in time did you begin to mimic success stories instead of promoting the bottom of the bottom?
Damn, that's a good question. Excuse my language, y'all, but that's a good question. And you know what? We're going to bring knowledge in. But to answer your question, that's a, you know what? I don't even have an answer for that, Pianki. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't have an answer for that because I don't know. I don't know, but I'm going to look it up and find out. But let's bring into knowledge into the house and see what he has to add to the conversation. Into knowledge, what's going on, my brother? Long time no hear from. What's up with you?
Sir, talk. How are you, my good man?
No, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
And the eloquent one, Pianki, what's good with you?
No, you the eloquent one. You always correct my spelling. It's not my spelling, it's my keys.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
I get that from my mother. She raised
and I thank you. And I thank you for it.
My mom used to pop me on the forehead with you remember when back in the 60s, when you used to get the Quo Vadis and you had the really short comb?
Yeah.
I used double negative. Ain't got no anything like that. My mom would take a comb and pop me in the forehead with it and tell me, you can't talk like that. So forgive me for that. But, in regards to the subject matter that's going on with exactly what Pianki said, you know, the black community, we have a tendency to cling to negative statistics because we don't really understand statistics. You know, when you tell me a percentage of anything, the first thing I want to know is how big is the sample population?
Uh-huh.
Meaning, how big is the people that you did to do the study? Because all too often what will happen is we will start ferreting all of these statistics when, in fact, the sample population is usually no more than a couple of thousand people. But then when they do the study and they put the information out there, they'll tell us 70%, 60% of the black community or 60 or 70% of the white community. When you look at the aggregate numbers, there's 350 million plus Americans in the United States. We make up basically, 13%? So let's keep the numbers simple. If we look at it as 10%, that means we're at 35 million. So if we bump it up to 13% just indiscriminately, let's just say we make up 40 million out of the 350 million people. Now, when they do the studies, how many of these people have they actually talked to? Very few.
Well, I think where the balance comes out, you know, on the census, they ask you everything. And today's census is a whole lot more revealing than the one 30 years ago. But they do have an accurate picture on who's working and who's not working. And they have an accurate picture of what people are making. And if we hear all our other conspiracy promoters who talk about your Social Security number tells everything, well, why come the Social Security number can't be revealing of what blacks are making? Now, I don't buy into your Social Security number tells everything. I knew at one point in time it was pretty accurate. But, no, they have ways of telling. Just for instance, into knowledge, in 2008, 16 million black people voted for an election. And we know the percentage of those that voted for Democrats. Of the 24 million that's eligible to vote.
Hold on for a minute real fast, okay? Just hold on for one moment. All right, y'all, we got 7 minutes left in the live show. So if you want to continue to hear the show live, you need to get on these phone lines, 347-838-8622. All right. That's the only way you're going to continue here live. We're going in overtime, so you need to get here. If you're in the chat room, you can stay in the chat room. You continue to chat, but you won't be able to continue to hear the show live. All right? So I'm just putting it out there, letting you hear it. So go ahead, Pianki.
And Vernon, so when that quarter, come on. When that quarterly report came out in 2009, after Obama had been inaugurated January the 20th, 2009, that quarterly report showed that the 16 million voted. Of that, of the 24 million that's of age to vote, not eligible, but of age. But it also showed into knowledge that only about 12 million, a little bit less than 12 million blacks had full-time wage and salary jobs.
Right.
So that there, and you know, I agree with you. Statistics should be used to let you know where you are, so you can understand what needs to be improved, what areas need to be improved. If you go to a doctor and they do your blood, they do your heart rate, and they do your look in your eyes and your ears and thump you on the knee, then they come back with a report and say, well, what was not working the way it should be? Therefore, you change your lifestyle or whatever in order to get things perspective. So that's what statistics should be used. And my goodness, we got so many negative statistics. And we got plenty of room to start and begin working to try to change things around.
I completely agree with you, Pianki, totally. But when we were talking about unemployment, now here's a little caveat that people need to understand when you start talking about these unemployment statistics. If you're on unemployment in December of 2013, when they didn't extend emergency unemployment benefits, going into January of 2014, this year, over 3.7 million unemployed, documented unemployed people dropped
right.
off the rolls.
Right.
Those people are not, you're not even counted as unemployed when you're not getting unemployment. Your number doesn't even factor into the whole diagram of the unemployment statistics. So even if you were receiving unemployment and you're no longer receiving it, even if you're not working and you're still unemployed, you're no longer counted as unemployed. So at the turn of the year in 2014, you had roughly 4 million people that were completely dropped off the rolls, who didn't have jobs, who were not employed, who were counted as unemployment stats, but were all of a sudden removed because they no longer get benefits. That's the thing that we don't talk about. And that number grows each month. So when they tell us, oh, the unemployment rate or the employment rate has grown, that's because so many people are dropping off the books. So even when the president tells us, oh, we created 250,000 jobs, okay, even when the president tells us we created 250,000 jobs, you had over 4 million people who are no longer even being counted as unemployed, who are still unemployed. So I agree with you.
I agree with you there, too.
And you know, the thing about that is, you know, if you're looking up the numbers and stuff, they have it where it says, you know, unemployment adjusted or unadjusted. You know, and you're right, though. You're 100% correct. Both of you are, as far as the individuals that's just dropping off, you know, they just actually stopped. You know, stop looking, because it's like, whatever, man. You know, and you know, it goes, it really goes, it works against you, because if you're not aware of that, you know, you're falling for the hype as, oh, yeah, the economy is getting better, everything is working. But if you live in you're actually out here living in the real world, you can see it's not getting any better. It's actually getting worse. But as we always say, and we say it here on the show all the time, and N2K, you said it, Pinky, you said it, you know, numbers can be, you know, made to say what you want them to say. We know this. It's been done over eons and eons of time. So, but in the same token, you have to have somewhere to start. You know what I'm saying? You have to have somewhere to start. Now, if you can actually remember that numbers get screwed, especially when it comes to employment, unemployment, and it's a political game that's played when it comes to numbers, then you have a better understanding of what's really going on. Of course, that's my opinion, but that's the way I'm looking at it right now.
And let me share something with you, Mr. Talk and Pianki. When one of my professors, when I was pursuing my degree in mathematics, well, applied math with an application in physics, a brother from the University of Chicago got his undergraduate degree in computer science, got his PhD at UC Berkeley in mathematics. One of the things that he taught me on the side, and he actually taught us all that as students when you took his statistics class, the first thing he told us is that statistics is a way to lie with numbers. Numbers don't lie. People do. The beauty of statistics is that you can formulate any type of statistical discovery, analysis, or breakdown. However, if the people who are getting the information don't do their due diligence, they're just going to buy the numbers. And this goes back to what Pianki was saying, how as black people, we gravitate towards the negative numbers because we don't do the homework, okay? When they tell us, oh, so many percentage of black men are getting incarcerated at this number, okay? Now, that's a statistic that we can pretty much, for the most part, yeah, that's well documented because these are people who are coming into a system that are being counted. They are being tabulated. However, the back end of that is when they take that statistic, are they comparing it to the actual general population? And if they are comparing it to it, are they doing it in a pure way? Meaning?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you. I tend to believe the statistics. I'm going to give you an example. Ferguson, Missouri. It is known that the police wrote 31,000 citations for a population that only has 21,000 in it.
Oh, wow.
It is known that when you drive by on certain nights, I think Tuesday is one, maybe more than that, when you drive by these traffic courts, these municipal courts, you got black people all inside, coming out the door, wrapped around the building and down the block as if it was a job fair. It is known that they have built brand new facilities in Ferguson. And it is known that this type of revenue, as I just forementioned, is the second largest producer of revenue for that municipality. And not only that one, but many others. And you have one other municipality I like to bring to mention called Maryland Heights. Well, black folks probably make up 2% of the population, and you got the same type of presence in these traffic courts. So something is going on there.
Yeah.
But that just goes back to what I'm saying. When you have a controlled sample population, statistics are extremely accurate. However, when you expand that out using
I understand what you're saying now.
When you expand it out and you take Ferguson as just an example and see what they do is, and this is how statistics work, they will take Ferguson, which is an accurate depiction statistically, and then they will expand it out through the whole United States. Now the waters become real muddy because you got different circumstances going on in different communities. Ferguson is not the same as South Central LA. It's not the same as East.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not the same as New York City. It's not the same as the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, It's not the same as any of those places. So what they do is they take that number and then they just cast a wide net and say, okay, based on what we know in Ferguson, here's what's going on in the black community throughout the nation.
Well, you know, I see what you're saying, but those agencies that track this type of the demographics and the what the Democrats are associated with, they do break them down by counties. They break them down by cities. And I think, they do provide information along, more specifically along the lines like you're talking about.
All right. Hold on for a minute, gentlemen. Okay. Hold on for a minute, gentlemen. I got a couple other people want to come in here. And
yeah, bring them in, please.
So, whatever. Anyway, let me bring Chris and Mr. Michigan in. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. How you doing today?
Hey. good.
All right, you okay?
Yeah, doing good. Right. It's Chris.
All right, Mr. Michigan, you there? You know, he'd be busy. He's a busy man. All right, well, I guess he come in when he get a chance. Okay. But anyway, what's up, Chris?
Right.
What you got for today?
Oh, yeah, not too much. Listen to the show, listening to it for like the last 10, 15 minutes. I came back on to see what things are at right now and what do you have as far as what's on the table right now that's taking place.
Man, really? Really? I'm going to call you the new Michael. You know, we're talking unemployment, man, and numbers and statistics
right.
They are screwed and things, messed up and, interpreted it the way you want to interpret them and things of that nature. So that's what we're talking right now.
Yeah, I just wanted to call us talking about, okay, you take Ferguson, some area that's part of St. Louis, I've just recently heard of, and the numbers can be easily, misled from going up or going down, and they put that on the scale and say this is what all black communities are doing from Los Angeles to Phoenix, or a black community from a district to a local area of a city. That's what I'm hearing right now so far. But I don't think that that's accurate. Like I said yesterday, that, okay, what one city is going through, according to numbers, and far from a PhD or interested in going to university to learn about numbers, it's just not accurate. It's just not commonly reasonably accurate to say that what's taking place in one city 4,000 miles away in a black community is happening in a city on the other side of a region of the western, on the west coast versus the east coast. They're all the same.
Yeah, that is what N2K was actually saying. You don't think so? Okay, maybe I'm mistaken.
Okay. According to numbers, now it might be okay. Unemployment. We're just basically talking about that. Or then I think it was a little bit of, we were talking about education as well. But I think they're maybe slightly off versus what like I said, what one city is doing. Then you have to take the population, add that up with how much has been taking place within that number. Then you got to go over to this other city that's 10, 20, 15,000 miles away, do the same formula, the number of black people that stay there, and how many crimes are taking place with that population and their education. It's going to be different. That's all.
Well, I tell you what. There's some categories. If you were to be blindfolded, you couldn't tell where you are, because what you're seeing once they take that blindfold is looking like what you just observed before the blindfold was put on. And
unfortunately, I'm not blindfolded, and I can see very clearly, and there's no foggy situation going on, so we can't go based on a what if or what should have happened. We just can basically just go by, that's true. Some blindfolded, which these numbers are, that's people that's using, you got to look at them. And those are the ones that are probably blindfolded. They're just saying, like what's being said, okay, Ferguson got these problems, so that means that every city
let's take
in
let's
that
take
area,
one particular
Midwest,
category.
they all got problems just like Ferguson does. But then that's
take one particular category in Ferguson. You got you looking at it like I said. Observe.
We're talking about
observing.
Right? Yeah.
No, we're talking about the courts. Look at the traffic courts. Look at the take a look at Ferguson traffic court. How people, blacks are all in the courtroom, coming out the door, down the steps, round the building, and down the block in a long line. All right, now I can blindfold you and take you any place, not any place else, but I can take you to other areas and take that blindfold off where you're standing in front of a courtroom and you will see practically the exact same thing. So we have to say that.
No. Right. I mean, you know, I'm not into magic tricks or, you know, trying to, you know, manipulate the mind of people with numbers do and confuse up people with this statistic versus this number back into facts and statistics and rounding it off with going to a blindfold to unblindfold situation. Just causes a migraine headache and stress and, you know, and confusion. I don't like being confused. I don't want people around me confused. So it gets real messy, you know, to be blindfolded. No, let's just talk straight, you know, no magical, mystical stuff.
Well, you know, earlier you mentioned that from one city in 15,000 miles to another. Where in the United States is one city to another that's 15,000 miles?
Not one.
Okay.
Well, see,
you know,
so you just confused.
Okay, that was just an example. I'm just saying it could be another city 800 miles, you know, I'm just 20 miles, 10 miles, you know, it's just what I'm saying. One city is totally different from another city that's different from their problem. I know what I said. I'm not stumbling over my words or contradicting myself. I heard exactly what I said. Another city that's 15,000 miles away. You know, their problems are different. You know, each state deals with their problems and they have their own laws and constitution with dealing with things. No city is the same as another one, you know, with their laws or anything, with church, politics, or nothing. Nothing is not, all cities are not ran the same.
Can I
share by design or anything? I don't know.
Can I share something?
I've done enough traveling, and I've lived in certain places throughout the country to know that. Just walking around and living and seeing how people think and walk around, you know, and how they live and they sit. I just know that by just walking around the city.
Can I share something with Chris? It's not that you don't know or you're misinformed. What we're talking about is how the numbers work. Because geographically, if you go from east to west, if you go from San Francisco to New York, you're talking about roughly, give or take, 3,000 miles, period. That's the extent of it. The United States, when you compare it to other countries, old countries, it's not very big. It's a very small place geographically. So when we get into this So when we get into this whole numbers game, when we are talking about statistics and things like that, Pianchi gave a great example, because when you're talking about a place like Ferguson, your numbers are going to be extremely accurate because it's a very small population. And then when you get the documentation in terms of incarceration and citations and, you know, the inordinate amount of disparity between certain groups that are being called into play on all of this civic disobedience, those numbers are going to be extremely accurate. Now, when you go to a place, a metropolis like L.A., like the Bay Area, like New York, that's got five boroughs, and in each borough, there's a minimum of at least 15 million people. Staten Island, Long Island, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, you're talking about 10 to 15 million people per borough. And what we understand is that when they call them boroughs, these are cities. Manhattan is a city. Queens is a city. Brooklyn is a city. So on and so forth. However, when the information is dispensed to us, we're just like, New York is just like this one big thing. And it's not. These are individual cities. They just don't call them cities. Now, when you branch out, like Cloud gave us the statistics with North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Utah, Vermont, areas like that, you're talking about a black population that is minimal at best. Minimal. These are not areas that we go to live. We don't migrate to these areas. You might have been born there. That might have been where you grew up. So, yeah, you're a part of that aggregate number, but you're a part of that number in a very small few. So we're not refuting what you say. We're just saying understand how the numbers work relative to your particular geographic location, your community. So what Pianki was saying was right on point. You can't argue the numbers in Ferguson. It's 21,000 people. It's really kind of hard to go wrong with collecting data on 21,000 people. That's not possible. You understand what I'm saying?
So the numbers are accurate for Ferguson only.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying, too. There's no, you can't accurately take those numbers of Ferguson and put them in the five barrels.
But that's But that's what they do. They'll take Ferguson. Yes,
that's not accurate.
It doesn't matter. That's what they do. That's the trick. That's the game.
Right. I agree.
Okay.
But it's not accurate. That's my point, too, sir. I'm not using a lot of common sense here or book knowledge to understand that. That's all I'm saying, too.
Chris, let me ask you a question. Did you find out some numbers about unemployment in your area? Did you find out? Okay, and what do your numbers tell you?
Wow. It gives me the numbers of the black community unemployment, but it's adding the teens in it as well. Is at 92%.
Huh. Well, that's teen unemployment. That ain't a working adults.
Okay, again, I said it adds
that's probably
the teens to them. It is the unemployment for black people in this city for black people, including the teens. It's
what
not
city
saying
you live
just
in?
Teens. Chicago.
No,
that's for the teens. That's for the teens, Chris.
No, it says, again, I'll say again, it says including teens. I don't know if you're comprehending what I'm saying. It says including.
Ain't no 92%, man. You just had 10,000 teachers strike here not too long ago.
Mr. Talk, that's the answer. So there you go.
Yeah,
you're
talking about 92% of the teens from 16 to 18 is 92% unemployed.
But hold on.
Okay, well, that's the answer.
Hold on. See, that is an example of what we just got finished talking about as far as how numbers can be screwed and turned around and made it look like one thing than the other. You know, that's just what y'all just got finished talking about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the whole population.
Yeah, 92% is a lot. That's why I said, wow, that's a big number right there. You know.
And
but see,
they're
now,
looking at, they have now, numbers. They have numbers for next. Okay.
I'm going to say, let's look at it like this, okay? You know, if you take and say, okay, from 16 to 25, You know, that's a whole demographic right there. Then you go, you know, and mm-hmm. it's amazing because they don't, you know, when they do these things, they don't say, okay, from working age, which in most states are what, 16 until retirement age of 65. You know, 16 to 65. Let's do it like that. You know, they have to break it down in increments. And I think when the increments are done like that, you know, that's where the numbers really become screwed and crazy, because you have a certain amount, you know, young teenagers, most of them going to school once they get out of college. So, you know, that messes up that percentage. And then as you get up, and then, you know, society today, you know, most, you know, if you're a senior citizen, you know, or a senior, pre-senior, you know, if you don't, you're not working, most people ain't, you know, or you got to go part-time. You know, so that screws up the numbers. So once again, we're back to the original thing that N2K and Pianke and myself was saying is numbers can be done to fit the situation. Now, if we take that 90% that Chris has given us and apply that across the board to other numbers, that would cause the numbers to just be outrageous. And you'd be like, really? And like Pianke say, that's probably what everybody would jump on. Wow. You know, the national unemployment rate is 90%, you know, or 80-something.
Right. Well, especially if you read a report wrong,
That's like saying that almost every caller that comes on this phone in the black community is unemployed. That's crazy.
Well, the report, you read the report wrong. It says, and I've just put the link in the chat room. Matter of fact, I talked about this on Chicago Station one morning about a couple of weeks ago. It was a discussion. It's for teens 16 to 19 years old. 92% of black male teens are unemployed.
Okay, what I have in front of me is telling me I'm reading it wrong when I'm looking at the paper that says 92% of the black community in the city of Chicago, including teens, is 92% unemployed. Teens and the African American community. And
Did you say men?
No,
did you say African
Americans? Oh. The African American community,
okay,
black
yeah.
people
uh-huh.
in the city of Chicago, including teens.
Okay.
The unemployment rate for both, so that's what it's saying, including for both, is 92%.
I don't believe that. That city wouldn't be in here.
I'm not saying I do or don't. This is what it's being said. I don't know if it's truth or anything. This is what I'm reading and looking at.
Not in any city.
92% over what? Like 1.3 million people?
No.
The city of Chicago right now statistic is the population of black people in the city of Chicago is like one of the number one or two highest populations in the United States right now, and therefore to be 92% of what we got here, 250,000. Just on the south side and the west side of Chicago.
Nope. I don't believe that. There is no way you're going to have 92% unemployment in a major city and it not fall. There is no economically that will not work.
I agree. First you got a 9, then you got a 2, then percent. I'm like, wow. Nope. I mean, I looked at it twice. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. Maybe, you know, like 92, what? Maybe because there was a lot of issues on the news this summer about the teens. Even a lot of teens this summer went to work. They didn't even get their paycheck.
That's a classic example of what I was talking about, how numbers can be skewed. Logically, that cannot work. You cannot have 92% of any given population be unemployed and a city still function. That cannot happen.
Because now yesterday a number came out where Mr. Talk co-host was saying, you walk around the city, you see it everywhere. Majority of businesses are black. You got your ice cream place, your barbershops everywhere, hair salons, clothing lines, I mean, like, these men and women are, they have their own store with their name on the, in the front, whatever they, name they wanted it, wanted to have, with clothes inside that they purchase wholesale, and you go in and buy black-owned restaurants, soul food restaurants, black cleaners, even temp job services that you can go in and get a temp job, wash some dishes on a Red Lobster or something, and they will, they're black-owned. Fried chicken restaurants, Home Depots. I don't see how Chicago is 19% unemployed where they're like maybe the two next to New York. The guy yesterday mentioned that they have the most black-owned businesses. They're doing well as far as the economy from yesterday. I don't know. I don't get it. 92% unemployed, but as far as businesses everywhere.
Logistically, that doesn't even make sense. Logistically, regardless of the location. But I did want to tell Pianchi something, because he asked me this question a year ago, and I just had a moment of epiphany. Yes, Pianchi, I can teach five-year-olds calculus before I can teach a grown person that the sky is blue. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, man, you're very valuable then.
Well, that, I mean, yeah.
You can get paid doing that.
And I do.
Because I'm paying a brother up in Canada to work with my grandson.
But I'd just like to say, to add to what Chris was just saying, I think Chris gave us a very good example of what we were talking about in terms of statistics.
Right.
Because you don't even have to be in Chicago. Just listen to the numbers. 92%?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? Man.
I wish I could just give you the piece of paper I got right now through the phone.
This comes from Northeastern. This source is from Northeastern University in Chicago.
Right.
A very reputable university.
Sounds like propaganda to me.
83% in the U.S., 88% in Illinois, and 92% in Chicago. Black males between 16 and 19. Now, I can tell you what, that is probably right in St. Louis.
Well, I'm curious as to the sampling size and everything like that and who they actually really asked, you know.
Well, they only got to check these kids from 16 to 19.
Well, I mean,
it was 50% at one point in time, Mr. Talk, and for it to be 83% across the nation, that's just about right.
Wow.
What?
I'm going to have to dig in stats more. Wow.
I'm going to have to dig in. 83% across the nation and 92% in Chicago? Damn.
It's 88% in the state of Illinois.
Okay, there go another statistic. I don't remember seeing that. Another number of percentage, I guess. But what I also see is that, okay, as far as Hispanic, Asian, and white, they're between 43 and 54% unemployed.
Man, well, that's a whole lot better than 92.
And this goes back to what we were saying before, in terms of how numbers can be skewed to make it look like it's an actual reality. You want me to believe that 92% of the youth in Chicago are unemployed?
Between 16 and 19.
What the number is? 92%? Come on.
And then the teams that was working over the summer, they're still waiting to get their paycheck to get paid. That was on the news about 3-4 days ago in the air.
To me, I could be wrong. I'm not saying I'm not wrong. So don't get me wrong. That's a complete fabrication. I'm sorry. 50%, I would be skeptical on, but I could go with. 50%? When you're talking 92%?
That's
everybody.
That's like saying everybody's not working.
That's black. That's all of them. With the exception
of 8%. That's black males between 16 and 19 years old. You got to be at least 16. You got to be at least 16 to get a job in Chicago.
No, that's not what the 92% is saying.
That's what the University of Northeastern University there in Chicago is saying. They the one came up with these demographic figures.
That's not what 92% of it is saying. It's including teens. 92% of the black community is not working, including.
It's not the black community. It's the 16.
I got to jump in here real quick. I actually posted some stats, and it was nowhere near 90% of teens, and it actually included, and it was only focusing on the black community, and it was including 16 and up, was also included in the total data, and it was nowhere near 90%. And I'll give you one of the reasons why no matter who cited the 90 or 92 or whatever the number was would be inaccurate. I'll give you two reasons why that could be inaccurate when you talk about just,
okay.
Let's just start
right.
with the teens. Now,
okay.
In Chicago alone, there have been several programs, along with the government subsidies and government sponsors programs that have been ushered in into a variety of different faith-based and nonprofits solely for the purpose of employing teens, plus the service industry, which is actually flourishing at this time, no matter what they say in the news, is one of the highest employers. You go to any McDonald's, KFC, or whatever, teens are the dominant population in employment there. You go to Chicago, you're going to see teens in pretty much any restaurant you look at. That's two. Plus, any mall that you go to, when we look at retail, your Family Dollars, your Dollar Trees, who are flourishing, and so on. These are also the high. They're centered around employing teens. Now adults start to come in when you get closer to the, the airport, specifically dealing with the ticket agents or car rentals. Service, transportation, CTAs, and so on and so on. So when you start to get to that, the private sector, banks, different government, city jobs, and so on. That's you start looking at more of the older section of the black population. But when you look at the teen, we're talking about malls, retail stores, UPSs, and so on. Is a high employer of teenagers, because if not for the impressionable employees, most of these companies, because of their high turnover ratio, would not even be able to function. So that alone defeats the Northeastern. Then let me throw in something about Northeastern real quick so we can get a better understanding of why Northeastern would even throw out some numbers like this. Number one, Northeastern Light University of Chicago, where President Obama was a former teacher, had ties to both the Rockefellers and the Roosevelts. Roosevelt family, which means that a key percentage of the data and the information is going to be very racially sensible. So, which means that they're going to really be designed to create larger numbers and really make it look worse than it is.
Cloud, I bet you $100. I'm saying it right here. I'm gonna put up $100 cash. I would bet you that those numbers are accurate and they are coming from the U.S. Census Bureau. Now, you want to challenge me on that?
Accurate. They are not accurate. You know, that's silly to bet on something.
Wait a minute. So we're saying
you're
that
not a part of, you don't
we're
live
saying
here.
That
I'm telling
we're
you,
saying
I
that blacks don't make up. Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. It says that blacks don't make up 39%.
Unemployment. Black people have an unemployment everywhere.
Man, you just said 15,000 miles between cities in St. Louis. How can we believe what you're saying?
People
Can you be quiet? 92% of black people in this city is unemployed. Everywhere
it didn't say black people. It said teens.
Including teens. Can you be quiet? Again, it said 92%. Well, I'm going to say it because that's what I saw. 92% of black people, including teens, are unemployed. Now, you
$200.
Just let me finish. If you don't like what I said, just let me finish. It don't matter. Don't get emotional. 92% of the black community, including teens, are unemployed. When I look around this city, I see nothing but black people working. Now, if you're in this city and you're unemployed, it's because you want to be unemployed. It's crazy. I mean, that's just right. Everywhere I go.
Tell me when I can tell.
They're in Kmart, they're in Target, they're in almost any restaurant you can name.
So how do you, let me ask you a question. How do you, when you look at people at Kmart
and Carl's. Can you be quiet? Can you be quiet?
Well, we don't have time for you to give a biography, man.
Excuse me, can you be quiet? So those numbers are not accurate. 92%, that's our whole population. It's just not accurate. So, you know, that's just what I'm saying. I'm done. But I'm just saying that.
The percentage,
here
the black or African-American alone black percentage in the city of Chicago, you said you were done. Now you're talking about you walk alone. It's not 32.9% in the city of Chicago. Blacks make up 14.5% of the population in Illinois. You mean that's not true?
92% of African-American.
That's not what I asked you.
I just don't see them being unemployed.
That's not what I asked you, Chris.
Chris,
if you don't have an answer for it, say, not to get in an argument with you. So how can you say these statistics right here, these numbers right here is saying that Chicago, 32% of the population of Chicago is black African American. So you saying that's not right?
Hold on. You know what?
The city, all you see is black people. That means that you make up 100% of the population then.
Hold on. And 92%, that's a large number, okay? Number one. Now, you have to also understand, you're talking about 16 to 19. So you're talking about kids are still in school, right? Still in school. You work, if you're working, you're working part-time, depending on what, three to four hours a day, a week, or what have you. So, I mean, that's a high number if you think about it. You know, it really is. Now, you know, I don't know, you know, with Cloud giving that information out as far as that university, that kind of explains a lot of, you know, where these numbers come from. But I don't believe it's that high for that.
Well, how about the graduation rate? And Mr. Talk, what about the graduation rate of blacks, the black graduation rate in your high school? What was that, about 17%?
We just got to find something wrong with Chicago. Okay, let's go with that. Fine, let's go
I'm
with that.
I'm not putting these numbers out.
We're going to be optimistic about something that's going on.
All right, stop. All right. See, once again, this goes back to what Knowledge had said when he first came on. For some reason, one of you said it, but if you notice, we're arguing about something that's negative that's going on in the black community.
Right. I said that when you look at things negative, that's where you're supposed to start improving.
Okay, but you know,
and some people want to be in what do you call it when you don't admit what something is, right?
Okay, I'm talking. I'm not trying to argue over and to talk with anybody.
That's when you're being culpable.
See, here you go. Okay, but anyway, you know, and once again, you know, 92%, that does seem a big old number, because I'm like y'all. I mean, I'm like, no, you know, it's like a whole population almost. No, 8%. So you're telling me only 8% of those kids are working. So, you know, if you look at school and things like that, maybe 50, 60, but 80, 90%? Come on. So, like I tell everybody on the show, you know, do your own research, because, you know, things like this, it seems unreasonable. If you do your own research and it comes out to be that, you know for sure that the information that was given was correct. Do your own research. You know, Chicago has really gotten a bad rap these last couple of years, not just, you know, because, number one, that's where the president is from, you know, and I've been hard on myself, I'm not going to lie, because of the murder rate,
you know, 92% unemployment? Really? That's a man, I'm telling you. Well, how's this city even operating?
An absurd number.
Yes, it is. I agree.
That's the whole population of whatever your sample is. That's everybody.
I agree. You know, I can't even argue with you on that one. I agree 100%. That's a large number.
Over there.
Say what?
Okay, and then to bring up Northeastern University, where you got, I think, let me see who else is over there. Oh, I can't think of school right now. But most of their statistics that they put out is like, you know, and I didn't even know what came from it, but I'm not surprised. Northeastern, Northwestern University, NIU, places like this, they're just racist, man. Steven, I don't listen to nothing they say. It's like watching Fox News. Really? Who watches that?
Well, you know what? We're going to leave it at there for right now. We can pick this up tomorrow on Freedom Friday if you want to. But, you know, it's that's a large number, man. I'm just stuck on that number. I'm like, wow, 92%. That's a whole lot. A whole lot. But we can pick this up tomorrow on Freedom Friday because I'm curious. So, my computer going to be hot tonight. If I got to make some phone calls, I will, because we gonna get to the bottom of this 92% thing. That's what they ain't going to sure. All right, so what we got? We got 39 minutes past the hour, so we need to go on and get up out of here, but we're going to let y'all get your last words in. So we're going to start with the man that we're going to start with Big Chris. Chris, you up. Your last word, sir.
Yeah, you know, it's great to know that we can use that tool of educating and doing research, because if I wasn't from Chicago, if I was the average person and I'm from Chicago, I would believe that this city is a dangerous place to live. Everybody's killing each other. Everybody's cutting their heads off. You know, women are getting raped, men are getting robbed from their businesses, and gangbangers are shooting each other over drugs, and people are just, you know, breaking in each other's homes. That this is the so-called Chirac of the nation. You know, we're Chirac, you know. But if a person that is not the average person, does research and look up, Chicago is not the, you know, high numbers in killing or the worst city to live in. I'll leave it at that, but it's not. It's like one of the best top 5 cities to go visit and live in, to live at, Chicago. But what I got out of this conversation is, if you don't do your research and educate yourself, you'll believe and fall for anything. You know, you'll be a dummy all your life. So we don't want that. Don't be stupid and misled and about information all your life, because the older you get, it's more easier to believe something and stick with it, and you're a stubborn, bitter old man that nobody likes because you think you're always right. But okay, that's enough for me. Yeah.
Chris,
that's all I have to say.
Chris, you've been messing with them trees today, haven't you?
Not yet.
You've been out there with them trees. I see. I figured it out now. You've been out there with them trees, boy. You better leave them trees alone. All right. I'll talk to you later, man. Oh, all right. The astute Mr. N2K, you're up, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say it was always good to talk to you, Mr. Tonk, Pianchi, Chris. I always enjoy lively discourse. For me, it's not a question of whether we agree or not. That's immaterial to me. What's important to me is that we understand where we're coming from, we share information, and we're respectful in that regard. And I just wanted to say that, you know, I've been a tried and true listener of your show from day one, I love all of the people who are a part of your show. It was great to hear Vernon's voice. Hadn't heard that in, I don't know when, but I'm just very happy when we have intelligent discourse, and even if we don't agree, we're giving each other something to where we have to go back and give thought to it. So that's all I got to say. I'm out. Go Raiders. Playing in Texas this Sunday. Even though we might come, we're going to try to do something. I love all of y'all. I'm out.
All right. Yeah, have a good one, man. Oh, Lord, that's funny. All right, Pianki, you up, sir?
Well, according to the University of Chicago, only over the last two decades, African-American students' reading scores have not improved, only incremental math score improvement, and across all groups, their test scores improved the least. According to the ISAT, Illinois Standards Achievement Test, only 1 in 9 African-American students in grades 3 to 8 are currently exceeding state standards. And according to the PSAE, the Prairie State Achievement, in the city of Chicago, not even 2 out of 5 African-American students meet or exceed state standards. So, now as I said before, this is not them students' fault. But if you are an employee, are you going to hire somebody that's coming with these type of credentials? Think about that. Think about it. So that's probably why come that the unemployment rate for Chicago black males between the ages of 16 to 19 is at 92%. We always want to say, oh, we ain't that. But, I mean, it's just if you go to the doctor and the doctor say, man, you at the point of having an aneurysm. Oh, it ain't that bad. I'm going to stop eating pork. Man, that's all I got to say.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. interesting points for sure. All right, Cloud, my co-host, you up, man? Been a great show, huh?
Oh man, it was awesome, and man, I love Pianki because he brings wisdom. but sometimes you know he's not right, and I gotta be honest. We can't, you know, that's why you said it originally, and I think N2K brought it up, and you guys talked about the importance of, you know, where you get your information and your personalized, you know, resources. You know, when we rely on mass media and a variety of different institutions that are known for being white supremacists, you know, that kind of tells you all off top, you know, Chicago, come on, University of Chicago, Rockefeller Connection, come on. I just also posted a link to show Northwestern, which was actually in the news, and one of the articles from U.S. Backlash said, brain dead and racist Democrat liars at Northeastern Illinois University tries to rewrite history. So these are the sources, the types of sources that when we quote these institutions and what they're saying is accurate, we have to take into account who's saying it. You know, who are we getting our information to? And if these are people who have been proven over and over again to have not only inaccurate information, but to have bias information with a bias, you know, that in itself says a lot. I love today's show. Learned a lot, and hopefully, depending on schedule, hopefully I'll be able to participate tomorrow.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much for your hard work and your on time research, man. I'm telling you, I couldn't ask for a better co-host. You know, why I do the chatting, you do the typing. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right, y'all. Another great show on this talk. And I want to thank everybody who participated. You know, Diamond Knowledge, Pianki, Chris, Vernon, man, I'm telling you, I haven't heard Vernon's voice in a while. Now, y'all don't get a choice. Now, Vernon is here every day. He just doesn't chime in every day. But, you know, I appreciate all the support that everyone gives me, because I realize without y'all, the show wouldn't be as good as it is. So y'all say anyway. So I do appreciate it, and much love to y'all. All right, tomorrow's Freedom Friday, y'all, so y'all know what that is. Open conversation, open forum. So whatever we talk about, we talk about. You know, we may hit on this a little bit more tomorrow. But as I always say, do your own research. You know, Chris gave us a huge number as far as unemployment for teenagers, 16 to 19 black males in Chicago, 92%. You know, so that's just telling us only 8% of the surveyed demographic, the survey sample is doing any type of work. That's whoo, man, that's whoo, that's a large number. So, you know, do your own research and let's see what we find out. Maybe we can come back tomorrow and compare if we can find out anything. You know anybody in Chicago, you may want to give them a call. Tell them to call them the Chamber of Commerce or somebody. You know, I'm sure, but we can go to the Department of Labor and find out, I'm sure. But anyway, it's been great today. I really enjoyed it. I've learned so much. Don't forget, man, we got a solar shower going on. You know, it may affect you. It may not. There's a tuberculosis case in Lynn, Missouri. The president's speech is nothing but really, in my case, nothing but, you know, double talk and double speak, and it is what it is. But I want to say, once again, appreciate you. Love you. Don't forget to keep smiling. Show appreciation. Forgive with open heart, but make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And the biggest, best thing, man, learn to laugh at yourself. Because if you can laugh at yourself, everything else is just gravy. That's why I'm laughing all the time, because I'm always laughing at myself. And some of y'all, I'm laughing at you, too, like Chris. I think Chris was on them trees today. I really do. But I love him to death. He's here. And I'm sure wouldn't be any good without him. All right? So without any further ado, man, thank y'all for coming. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to take y'all out of here today with the Commodores and Night Shift. And I'll see y'all tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. For me and my co-host, Cloud Nation Radio, it's been real, y'all. We got to go. Bye. Coming down the night. I
Bye.